So, tell me about the Rossendale Trust.
Well, the first thing about the Rossendale Trust that everybody should be aware of is that we're based in Macclesfield, not Lancashire. Our name, unfortunately, doesn't exactly say what we do on the tin. And the reason we're called the Rossendale Trust is because many years ago, well, 50 years ago, in fact, two families bought this property known as Rossendale Hall for the purpose of providing support for children with learning disabilities in 1973.
And you've been running since that time. What kind of services do you offer?
Well, the charity has grown over the years into the service we provide today, which is something called supported living. And that is supporting an adult with learning disability to live as full a life as possible. And each adult is assessed according to their needs, and we provide the care hours to support them.
And how many residents do you have here?
Across the trust, overall, we look after 70. We've got two homes across in Buxton with people in those, and then we've got several properties across Macclesfield. We've got 32 on site here at the hall.
It's a lovely setting.
Mm, it is a very nice place, and so many people drive past it and don't realise that we're here and get a nice surprise when they do come in.
So the services that you offer, you, as adults come in, how do you assess what needs they have and how you can accommodate them?
Well, each adult, as I say, is assessed by the local authority. So social services will assess their care needs. We don't take people directly. Everybody comes through the local authority.
So it's a referral system.
Yeah.
And obviously with that many residents here, you must need quite a lot of staff.
200. So, yeah, we have waking night staff as well as our day care staff, and that those care hours are split into two shifts. So there's a shift changeover at midday, but between 2 and 3 o'clock, and then the last evening shift starts then, and they finish at 10, and then we have our night staff. Not everybody has 24/7 care, but because they live in shared apartments, we can provide sufficient care and support for everybody through the way that we manage the placement of individuals in their homes. So, and that's what we don't call them service users either, they're also called tenants, because everybody has a key to their own front door, and you can't just walk in there like nobody could walk into your home. You have to knock on the door and wait to be admitted.
It's their home. It's their home,
yeah, and it's about their dignity and respect, because we encourage them to take ownership of their own lives, to make their own choices, to decide what they want to eat, what they want to do, how they want to spend their time each day.
So I suppose the staff really are more facilitators than carers.
Well, yes, depending on the capacity of the individual. Obviously, some people have more care needs than others. But I mean, some of our tenants, they do college courses, they have part-time jobs, they volunteer with the Canals and Rivers Trust. I'm trying to think of the various ones we go to. The National Trust, we volunteer and help them out. And they do that as part of their day activities. So they're busy people, and that's hence the car park, which is rammed always. We have a lot of vehicles taking people out and about, as well as staff coming to support them.
I suppose one of the situations we want to talk about, because we've talked about it with other charities, is COVID. How did that affect the trust?
Well, like everybody else, we had to lock down, and we probably reverted back to a bit like we used to operate, which was a residential care type of model, in where everybody did their activities in their own homes. So we catered for everybody very well. We didn't have any outbreak or anybody pass away due to COVID. We did have to use this building as an isolation place because somebody was going into hospital, and as part of the preparatory procedure, they had to be on their own. So as this building wasn't being used for admin purposes, we changed this room into a bedroom. It happened on two occasions, and both individuals absolutely loved it, because that big screen over there, which we use for our meetings, was their TV, and we had some comfortable furniture, and so they lived like a couple of lords in here, having all this space and one-to-one support.
That's wonderful. One of the questions we ask, obviously, for charities, funding. How do you get your funding?
Well, the local authority, as government directs them to, support individuals with a learning disability, and they pay for the basic care hours. Everything above that is what we fundraise for. So they get a learning disability allowance, they'll get housing benefit. Everybody's, as they, an individual, so everybody's care package is different. So their funding, they say they will live on benefits, but for getting replacement cars, for equipment, for their outings, some people's allowances are a lot less than others. So if they need a new TV for the apartment, or the majority of the apartment can afford to go on a trip to the theatre or wherever, or a holiday or a day out, and somebody can't, well, we have funds that they can access to enable everybody to, you know, take part in these activities and, you know, have the stuff that we enjoy, you know, the trips, the outings, the cameras to take the pictures with. All the extras are what we're always funding.
And how difficult is that at the moment with the cost of living crisis?
Oh, it's increasingly difficult every year. We are one of 2,000 charities, believe it or not, within a 10-mile radius of where we are today. A hell of a lot of competition out there. And then also when we are applying for grants from trusts and foundations, you can imagine there are just literally thousands that these trustees have to look at the applications. Yeah, it's something that we're doing all the time, every week. On an annual basis, I would say we send out between 750 to 800 applications a year to various grant-making trusts and foundations.
I suppose then it's waiting to see whether that money is granted and does come in,
yeah,
or looking at different things. So is it a case of that's one side of it, but you do things like raising money by hosting events or that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's more of a fun side of it, in that you can immediately see the cause and effect of your events, and you're engaging directly with the public, with people that come to that event. And that is rewarding, because, as I said earlier, not a lot of people realise what we do or meet the people that we're doing it for. So when we have an event, it's really lovely to see that interaction and see everybody enjoy the event, and obviously we get some real results at the end of it. It's hard work because we're only a small team here, but the people, as you know, you can pull on people in other departments to lend a hand when it's a fake day or afternoon tea day. Will they man the tea tent, or will you do this? Will you go on the gate? Will you sell raffle tickets? And everybody pulls a finger out, and we work together as a team.
And how many is in the fundraising team?
Two.
There's a small team.
Yeah. No, my colleague's not full-time yet because of children's ages, but, we both work, very much full-time.
Yes, Amanda, I can imagine. I suppose it's one of these things as well, when you're organising events, it's good that the rest of the team and the staff will come in and help, because two of you trying to do all that, it just wouldn't happen, would it?
We couldn't do it without them.
No.
And whilst, you know, we get praise for our results, it's a team event. It's team effort, rather. It's not just myself and Suzanne. We are we might come up with the ideas and get the ball rolling, but we have great support from everybody else who is also doing their own job. You know, we all wear different hats. It's a small team.
Mm.
We can't afford to be anything other, because we don't have a huge income to support administration.
And ultimately, it's for the benefit of the tenants, isn't it?
So everything is. That's who we work for.
So yeah. it has to work, doesn't it? That's the key.
It has to be cost effective. Has to be successful. Which we do. We gain a lot of support, not just financial support, but I think we also benefit from our networking, in that we get support in other ways, which is not necessarily cash in the bank. In that we have a volunteering day scheme that's called Make a Difference Days, and we have lots of different businesses in the local area who have this quite often as part of their employee responsibility, in that they can give some time to a charity. So we have teams from large businesses, or just a few individuals will come, and they'll come in the scruffs, have this room as their base for the day, and they'll get out on the grounds, which are quite extensive, and we don't have gardeners, but they are maintained by volunteers. So they'll come and paint something, demolish something, dig and weed. Just generally keep the place looking as smart as it is.
You mentioned before that people driving past don't necessarily know it's here. Is that an issue, trying to raise that sort of awareness with the public as well, about the Rossendale Trust itself, not just where you are, but what it is you actually do?
Well, that's where the networking is important, that we get out there and talk about the Trust. Do presentations and make people aware of what we do. It's not, we don't necessarily want to attract a load of visitors because it's people's homes, this is their grounds. But it's always a nice feedback when people do come and visit and go, "Ooh, didn't know you did that." I mean, like the horticultural activity, which is part of our day service, is based here, and we plant hanging baskets and containers all year round. So we have spring baskets and containers, and then we have the summer ones. So, and we do those for businesses and pubs and as well as individuals. And we've got a very good reputation because anybody who's ever bought one of our hanging baskets is always aghast how long it lasts, because they're really good quality plants and compost that they're planted in. And they're not expensive, but they are great value. So we get a lot of repeat business from that, which is good. Yeah, horticulture is a lovely day activity because it's very social and interactive. We have a lot of people keen to do that. But then, we've got 20 different activities. Horticulture is just one of them. We do 20 activities a week, 415 half-day sessions a week. And we are currently supporting 107 different individuals each week to do the different activities.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot. When a lot of day services have closed down, ours is one that is sustained and grown into quite a phenomenal amount of people that we support.
So if anybody listening right now wants to either donate or maybe volunteer, what's the best way of getting in touch with you?
Well, the easiest way to do it would be to visit our website, www.rosendaletrust.org, and you'll find links on there to donate. So you can set up a regular payment. You could join our Fantastic Five, which is a cash lottery draw that takes place each month. Half the money that comes in goes out in cash prizes. That's a continuing way of supporting us. They can also find out about the volunteer days, make an inquiry, and we can fix the date and the diary for you to come, as a business. And team bonding over digging up or knocking down something. It's always a lot of fun. We film the activity at day and then post it, share it with the individuals that come, and then they can like and share it. Just another way of getting out, what we do, and getting other businesses to support us. And then we've got WorkTaste, which is another scheme we have, which supports adults with learning disability in employment, because getting employment is something that, in the world of work, is actually something that they've all been excluded from by the very fact that they're disabled. But with one-to-one support, we can support an individual who wants to have a go at working in a proper job. And we've had some great successes with that. We've worked with over 30 different local businesses, and it's only for half a day a week. The participant doesn't get paid, but we just ask the business to give them a meaningful job of work. And the coach that goes with them goes before the placement starts, and they learn about the job, be it in Costa Coffee or in a shop or wherever. They research the transport, how to get there. It might involve some travel training, so getting on the bus, or they might even be able to walk there. But they make sure that everything, the coach knows everything to expect before the participant takes on the role. And it's also a perfect place for preconceived notions about somebody with a learning disability be broke down, because the workplace is a very neutral territory. And we have had such lovely feedback from all our participants who really enjoy their company and working with them, because they are lovely people. If anybody wants to fundraise with us, for us, please get in touch. Come and visit us. That can be arranged. Say we might be hidden behind some trees, but it's not that we don't want to be seen.